The scripture reading this morning will come from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Again, that is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Rejoice. Rejoice. I like that word. It just sounds good, doesn't it? It just sounds like a happy word. You know, there are some words that tell you something about them just by the way they sound. But rejoice, that sounds happy. Paul told the Christians, us, to rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 3:1. He says there, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it's safe. Rejoice. And a chapter later in what we just heard, read in our presence, chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. I've shared with you before in my time teaching, and I used to tell students this at the college level all the time, and I tell it to classes at church too. If a teacher says something twice, if a teacher repeats him or herself, it's probably important. And if they tell you they're saying it again, that is what I call a test-taking opportunity. Write it down. Paul says, rejoice again. I'll say, rejoice. In First Thessalonians 5:16, we're told, rejoice always. Rejoice. Well, if we're supposed to do it, we ought to know what it is, shouldn't we? What is it? Well, rejoice, I looked it up in the dictionary. I don't trust dictionaries a whole lot, but I looked this one up. It says it's a verb to feel and show great joy or delight. It's a verb. It's an action word. I didn't learn a whole lot in English. I was not a good student. I got through. But I was one of those students that just kind of got through. I did learn what a verb is. A verb means you got to do something. It's an action word. To show, to feel great joy or delight. And action words require us not to just sit and say, I'm happy, I'm rejoicing, but to show it. I have two daughters-in-law. They're both big football fans. One of them lives and dies University of Texas. They're the only house in Northern Kentucky that flies an American flag in the front yard and right below it, a Longhorn flag. I have another daughter-in-law who has died in the wool, Alabama. She's celebrating this morning. She celebrates a lot. And I have learned she shows her emotions on her sleeve when it comes to the Crimson Tide. When Alabama's playing, if they're winning, I can call her and talk to her. Now, the conversation will go something like this. How are the kids doing? Oh, they're doing good. Get him, get him, get him. Oh, I'm sorry, she'll say. If Alabama loses, I know not to even call the house for 3 days. If Alabama wins, you talk about somebody chipper and happy and excited about life. Now, you see, brothers and sisters, that's a silly little story, but that's rejoicing. When Alabama scores the touchdown, Trisha rejoices. She can't stand it. She'll put it on Facebook. because she can't stand not to let it out. That is rejoicing. We are commanded to do that. I sometimes wonder about, we have over the years, members of the church have preached and talked about with this law of liberty, this law of liberty. Well, brothers and sisters, we have commands. We have, you will do this in the New Testament. And this is one of them. Rejoice. And not only rejoice, but I'm telling you to do it again. Rejoice. Sometimes it's hard to do that, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to be happy. Sometimes rejoicing is a challenge. We look around us right now, and I see people spread out in this auditorium. I see people spread out that don't want to be spread out, that want to sit next to each other. I see people before services and after services walking around and doing this. I told somebody the other day, that's the modern rock, paper, scissors. Am I going to bump fists? Am I going to bump elbows? Am I going to bump shoulders? We don't like doing that. We want to hug. We want to touch because we're people. And it's hard to rejoice when you can't do what you want to do. Be with people. We have troubles. We have difficulties. Times are hard. But even with all of that, we are commanded to rejoice. Why? What reason do we have to rejoice other than being told to? I'm a big Peanuts fan. And I like the cartoon that showed Charlie Brown standing, holding Snoopy's leash in his hand. He's got his arms folded. And he's just standing there. And you see Snoopy bounce across in front of him. And then bounce back in front of him. Linus says, "What are you doing?" Charlie says, "I brought him to the park to frolic, and he'd better frolic." We're commanded to frolic, to rejoice. But why? How can we be motivated to do that? What reason do we have to rejoice other than the fact that we've been told to do it? Well, first of all, we rejoice because, brothers and sisters, we have today. Today is ours. In Psalm 118:24, David wrote these words. He said, and you know them, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Well, that's just as true today as it was the day that David wrote it. God didn't owe me another day, but he gave it to me. And I need to rejoice for this day. I've shared with you that as a youngster, I was very, very ill. I spent a lot of time in hospitals. And I think I might have shared this story with you. I remember being 7 years old and being in a hospital in Cheyenne, Wyoming, where the doctor is telling my parents that I'm not going to live to see age 16. That's another sermon about the power of prayer. But I remember being in that hospital bed, and there was a little boy in the bed next to me. He was about 5 years old, four, something like that, younger than me. In terrible pain, mortally ill, did not survive much longer. In fact, he passed while I was in the hospital room. And I remember the nurse coming in and saying to him, "How are you feeling?" And he said, it hurts. She said, "Is the pain really bad?" He said, "It's pretty bad." She said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And this little boy, this child with 4 or 5 years of experience on this earth looked up at that nurse and said these words I will never forget. "It's okay. Nurse, it's okay. As long as I'm hurting, I know I'm alive." Now, if that doesn't send chills down your spine, you need to wake up. This little kid in pain said, "As long as I'm hurting, I know I'm..." That's a boy that is rejoicing in the day that the Lord has given him. The Lord's given him a day, and he's rejoicing in it. We need to actively rejoice and actively make use of the day the Lord has made. He gave us today for a reason. I don't know what the reason is that the Lord gave you today, but He did, and He did it for a reason. And we need to make use of it. We may not have what we think we want. We may not have what we think we need, but God gave us a day to use and to do something with it. I love the old story of the medieval times. Man was condemned to die, and they brought him out to the town square in front of the castle, and they stood him up there, and the headsman came out with his hood and his axe, and the man's about to lose his head. And as he was about to lose his head and be killed, he stood up. King said, "You got any last words?" He said, "Yes, sire, I do." He said, "If you'll give me one more year of life, sire, I'll teach your war horse how to sing." Everybody started laughing, and the king said, "You're out of your mind." He says, "No, sire, I mean it. If you give me 1 year, I'll teach your horse how to sing." King said, "This I got to hear." "All right," he said, "I'll grant you 1 year. 1 year from today, we meet right here. My horse either sings or you die." And dismissed everybody. As the guy was being let go, his friend came up to him. He said, "What is the matter with you? You can't teach a horse to sing? You can't sing." And the man said, "Hey, I just got a year. The king might die, I might die, the horse might die, or I might teach it to sing. I got a year." You see, now there's an attitude toward wanting some time to use. The Lord has given me a day. This is the day the Lord has made. I need to rejoice and be glad in it, and I need to use it for the Lord. Why do we rejoice? Well, we rejoice not only because it's commanded, but because God is with us. And we say that sometimes, but we need to mean it. God is with us. Where two or more are gathered in His name, there He will be. God is here today. He's here with us now. Romans 8:31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" I think sometimes we underestimate God. We try to put God in a context of our lives. Let me remind you, God spoke the word and the universe came into existence. That's power. God reached down and spared His people from annihilation by the Egyptian army by stopping the flow of water and His people walking across on dry land. God stopped the flow of water again so His people could walk into the promised land again on dry land. God raised Lazarus from the dead. God can cure any disease and does all over the New Testament, does cure diseases that man can't even think about. I've shared with you before the story about the scientists who decided they'd figured out how to create life. They knew how they could make life. They could challenge God. So they challenged God. And God said, "Fine, I'll meet your challenge." So on the day appointed, they all gathered around. And this God said, "You go first." And the scientist said, "Okay." And he reached down to pick up some dirt. And God said, "Ah, you create your own dirt." God has power that is unimaginable to us. God has might that is unimaginable to us. The wonder of the Lord's Supper that Dennis talked about, of the communion, the wonder of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us is that God is all powerful. And He's on my side. He is on my side. If God is for us, who can be against us? Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be with content with such things as you have." Don't be wanting something else. Don't be coveting other things. And why? Why should I not want anything else? Because what else can I have? There's nothing anybody can give me that's bigger than the next sentence. For he himself, Jesus, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What can somebody give me? What can I want that is bigger than that? What is there on this entire earth that I could want that would be bigger or better than Jesus being with me, than God being with me, for me? Even when we fail God, even when we let him down, he's still with us. Nehemiah chapter 8. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the situation there is that the people have strayed from God. They were not obeying him. They were disobeying him. They were mistreating him. They were disrespecting him. And they had been for some time. The law book was found. And it was read to the people. And they were told what they had been doing. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9. Beginning in verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people had wept when they heard the words of the law. They heard what they had done wrong and they broke into tears. They were sorry. What have we done? We've been doing wrong. And the law has just been read to us and told us what terrible, awful things we've done. And he said to them in verse 10, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. You see, Nehemiah told them, don't, just stop crying. You've been told you've done wrong. Stop going into pain and sorrow. Be glad. Rejoice. The people responded with great rejoicing. Verse 12, all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. And in fact, Nehemiah was telling them, don't look back. Yeah, you messed up. You did bad. You were horrible, awful, nasty behaved people. You didn't treat God right. Stop looking back. Quit worrying about woulda, coulda, shoulda. Be glad that today you learned to do better. This is the day that you learned what you should be doing. Now go do it and rejoice and be glad. Rejoice, why? Because God is with us. Why should we rejoice? Because God has provided what we need. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They ate their food with gladness. They were happy for what they had. And they were glad and rejoicing. In Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Jesus said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves? For a friend of mine has come to me to do his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Pay attention to verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. You see, God will provide what we need. God, provision of what we need is a reason to rejoice. And Jesus taught us that God will give us what we need and what we ask for. Now that doesn't mean we can run out and ask for anything that we want and he'll give it to us. Because James tells us in James chapter 4, we ask for our own selfish desires. We don't ask for what God wants. We don't ask God to give us what we need, and we don't ask God to give us what is good for us. Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34 tells us all about being anxious and not being anxious, and don't worry about it. We should rejoice because God gives us what we need. I look around my life and I think I am so blessed. I've been blessed to travel outside the United States. If you think that you have difficulties and you think your economics are hard and you think you have a poor life, let me tell you, brothers, sisters, we don't have poor people in the United States. Oh, I know we have people who do without. I know we have people who are hurting. I know we have people who are worried. I know we have people that are in all kinds of difficulties. But we don't have the poverty like they do in other countries. We are blessed beyond measure. We are blessed incredibly. And we should rejoice because of that. Why should we rejoice? We should rejoice because God has provided us a way to heaven. God has said to us, to me, Leon, I'm going to show you how to get to heaven and spend eternity with me in peace and joy and comfort and no sorrow and no pain. John chapter 16, verse 33. In this chapter, Jesus is preparing to go to the cross. And he knows where he's going, and he knows what's coming. And he's been telling his followers for some time what's coming. He knows he's going to be on the cross. He knows he's going to be beaten. He knows he's going to be scourged. He knows he's going to be mistreated, spat upon, reviled. He knows that's coming, and he knows he's facing that. In John 16, verse 33, he tells them, he tells his followers, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Pay attention. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see, it doesn't matter what the world throws at me. Jesus has already overcome it. It doesn't matter what the world threw at Jesus. He's already overcome. He has won, and he's opened the path for me to be to heaven, and I should rejoice in that. War is a terrible thing. World War II was an awful, awful thing, a terrible period in our history, in our world's history. Millions died. Many of them died hard, terrible, awful deaths, and war is never pretty. But one of the images that you have of World War II, I have no doubt, and one of the most endearing images and enduring images of World War II, I saw it just the other day, a couple of months ago, it was in the news again. A picture in Times Square, New York, of a sailor kissing a young woman. Turned out he didn't know her, she didn't know him. It took 50 years for somebody to track them down and figure out who they were. Ticker tape flying all over the place. Parades. People screaming, celebrating, shouting in the streets. They weren't celebrating the war. They weren't celebrating the fighting. They weren't celebrating the death. They weren't celebrating the destruction. Nobody celebrated those things. What did they celebrate? The end. They celebrated when it was over and the results of winning the war. I don't suggest that we celebrate COVID-19. I don't suggest that we celebrate pain and suffering in our country and in the world. And I don't suggest that we celebrate the battle between good and evil that's going on in this world today. But we can celebrate and rejoice because we know who wins. Jesus opened a path for me to be in heaven. In Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Come back a little ahead for verse 18. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's telling these ones that he's sending out. And he says to them in verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Don't rejoice that you have power. Don't rejoice that you've got strength. Don't rejoice that you have the abilities that I gave you. He says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We should be rejoicing because we have a promise of heaven. We have the sure and certain knowledge that heaven is there and that heaven is there for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We are commanded to rejoice. And we are commanded to be happy people. Jesus brought us to the park and gave us the opportunity to frolic, as Charlie Brown did with Snoopy, and we ought to be frolicking. There is nothing that any Christian should be sad about. There is nothing that anybody can do to you to take Jesus away from you. There is nothing that anybody can do to you to take heaven away from you. There is no difficulty, no challenge, no problem that can take Jesus and heaven away from me and from you. As we walk out these doors today, rejoice. And again, I'll say it, rejoice. Be happy. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus gave his life for you. Jesus opened heaven for you. He opened the path for you to go to heaven. And there is no COVID. There is no election. There is no government. There is no anything on the face of this earth that can take away the peace that passes understanding if we submit ourselves to Jesus. Have you done that? Have you committed your life to Jesus? Have you said, I will commit myself to you, I will obey you, Lord, and then I will rejoice in the day that you give me. And I will spend that day doing the things that you want me to do because you gave me a day and I need to do something with it. If you haven't, why not? Don't wait. Don't wait. It's all there, and you can be of all people the happiest if you just commit to Jesus and obey him. If you're unhappy in your life, there's a problem, because we're told to rejoice. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, please respond. Let's stand and sing the song now and respond to what Jesus wants you to do with your life.
Question comes to you.